Welcome, everyone, to the Open Sky Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Z. This is the podcast where we talk about photography and technology and all kinds of other stuff, but we focus a little bit more on what's going on between the big cities on the coast, right? So I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, and today I talk to Aaron Frey. Aaron is a photographer and a tech enthusiast slash expert. He knows pretty much everything about technology. If you have a question, if you're like, hey, this thing's not working, you bring it into Rockbrook Camera, where Aaron works, and you ask Aaron, and you say, what's going on with this thing? And he can usually tell you whether it needs to be fixed or whether you need something new. Aaron's the guy to go to. During this podcast, I want you to take a couple things away with you. Listen to the part about beginning photographers, you know, what equipment they should get. Aaron has some really good insight for that. And we also talk later on about what is the one piece of equipment that most photographers are missing out on, something that they should be spending money on, but not a lot of photographers are taking the time or putting in the funds to get that. So check it out. Here's my interview with Aaron Frey. All right, so Aaron, I'm here with Aaron Frey. I've known Aaron for a little while at Rockbrook Camera, and whenever I have questions about gear, I come to you, man.
Yeah, it's, we see you a lot.
You see me a lot. And what is your background in photography? Where do you, you know, where do you come from, and how did you get to where you are right now at Rockbrook?
So I got started in high school, took a desktop publishing class, and then that's like, oh, do you want to do yearbook? Yeah, I'll do yearbook. So I started yearbook and then decided that, you know, it's kind of fun. I wanted to buy my own camera, stop having to check the schools out. This was Bellevue West, so we only had a couple floating around at that time. So I went and bought my own camera and just kept playing with it.
What's the what year are we talking? What's the timeline? You're young.
This, yeah. 27. This was 2008.
Okay. All right.
Is when I was getting in and starting to look around at this kind of stuff and getting it figured out.
All right. So you fell in love with photography or cameras or what?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both, and it was, you know, just creating stuff a little bit. But the cameras too, I'm always kind of a nerd, and electronics would get to me, and cameras are certainly that. So it was kind of a natural path, and I had fun, and the people in that class were just way fun, and the advisor Kim Boltzma was you know, made it worthwhile and a fun place to be.
It's a different kind of environment, right, than a regular classroom?
Oh yeah, you're not in the classroom quite as much, and it's such a collaborative atmosphere that you're just bouncing all over, or you're out, you know, on assignment gathering photos that are needed for whatever spread. It's not your sit down, listen to the teacher, and fill out a workbook. Definitely a different class.
And did you learn how to do, like, how did you learn how to do photography during the class, or did you kind of know?
There was a little bit of, you know, composition and that kind of stuff. We were always told to shoot raw, and never knew why that was such a big deal until we got back and needed to fix all our photos and really push stuff around. But I didn't know what ISO did for like the whole first year that I was doing photography for the yearbook. So that was definitely a point of growth when I figured out what these manual controls do and how to make them do what I wanted them to do. But yeah, going in there was not, Bellevue West did not have a photography class.
Sure.
So it was kind of on the fly a little bit, and more about just being in the right place. And, you know, I took, you know, if we were out to take a football game, I went to as many football games as I could. It wasn't like some of the other clubs and groups. It was like you'd go and try to get one meeting or something. But all the sports stuff especially, I've always been kind of a sports fan, so I'd go to as many of those as I could. And okay. That second year I was a photography editor, you know, I almost didn't even assign sports to anybody else. I just went to them all. So it really got hands-on.
So you really dove like deep into it during high school then?
Yeah, high school especially. And then I, you know, decided that after high school I wanted to do something photography related. That ended up turning into like a general media arts degree at UNO.
And what is that? What is that degree, like general media arts? What does that encompass?
It's not, I don't think the word general is in the degree, but it just, we did a lot. It's an art degree. So Like, I had to draw and I had to paint and I had to take all these art history classes. And really, I, like I said, I'm just kind of a nerd. So learning all those, you know, and the design and all that stuff. So did all of it and didn't specialize in anything really.
Okay.
So it just felt like a very general art degree. And I feel like I have a pretty well-rounded grasp of that world.
Okay, and then what after that, what was the progression? What'd you do?
Yeah, so during college, like I worked at least, you know, 20 hours, 25 hours a week all through college just to work. I would rather work than be at school. I was never like a school guy. But one of those jobs ended up being at Rock Brick Camera. I have interest in camera, understand how they work. And here we are. So I went through college working at Rock Brick. Now full time, and I'm the manager at the 108th Street store. So yeah, it was that high school kind of kick, and then just a continued application, doing stuff, friends and family, and just for fun. Like all of my photography for the most part has been for me rather than other people.
Yeah. And so at Rock Brick, you're kind of the tech guy. Like when I've asked other people questions, they're like, dude, you gotta talk to Aaron.
Yeah, it's a right? little bit.
How did that happen? Because that's, you know,
I like the problems that arrive from, okay. from that technology, and I'll dive in on my own, you know, outside of work just to figure something out. Like a few years ago, I knew nothing about live streaming video. And I had one customer say, "Hey, what do you guys offer for this?" And I was kind of like, I don't know if I was disappointed, but I was just like, you know, really nothing. And I was mad that we didn't have an answer. So you kind of dig into that. Then you have an answer. And that those kind of problems. And
then you build your knowledge base too, yep, right? Yep. Some of those things are related. You're like, Oh, man, I know how to do audio for live streaming, so I can do audio for this other thing, right? Yep.
So my just general interest and then the problem solving. There's things that I know, stupid little things about that I wouldn't need to otherwise. And those little things have come up, and that's been really helpful for myself and my coworkers and my customers.
Sure, sure. And I know, like, I get into, I like the tech stuff, and I enjoy it, but I can't keep up with it like I used to be able to. Yeah. I used to have more time. You know, you have a son, and things start to change. I don't even, I didn't know someone, like won the NBA championship until like 2 days later.
Yeah, well, it seems it goes all year, so it never ends.
It never ends. And so, you know, I love having to be able to come down to you and I just be like, dude, what do I get? What should I get for the kids? You know?
Yeah, and that's all we do. So that's kind of the nice thing too, is we get to play with all this stuff and we get to feed off of all these other people that have these experiences and know what they're doing. And after a while, we kind of know what we're doing.
Okay, so one of the things I'm curious about, right, is one of the things I wanted this podcast to be is for a lot of photographers to be able to listen to it and kind of get, you know, some answers to some things or to kind of, you know, view the photography world. And you have some insight because in the last, like, 4 or 5 years, 6 years, things have really changed in photography, like gear. Is that true?
Absolutely. You know, a big thing that we have all noticed is you've always got a camera with you now. It's in your phone. So that changes how we produce and think about images that way. And then in the bigger stuff, yeah, the technology changing in, you know, from the interchangeable lens SLRs, that kind of that old school fancy big camera, has kind of changed with these mirrorless cameras to get the same kind of quality with usually a couple more features and speed and smaller sizes. And there's been a pretty big shift towards that mirrorless camera.
Where did that come from? Like, I haven't really kept up with it. Sony kind of introduce that? Or
it was Olympus and Panasonic.
So that's right.
When I started at the store, it was 2012. Mirrorless cameras had been out a little bit. Like, Nikon had a little 1-inch compact system, but really it was Panasonic and Olympus with Micro Four Thirds.
That's right.
And their whole idea was small and light. And that's still, for the most part, especially Olympus, they wanted to make a smaller, lighter camera system that could produce these pro quality images, and they've done that. And it's just kind of expanded to these other guys. You know, Sony was next, and they said, okay, let's take this APS-C format that's, you know, the most popular, and let's pack it full of stuff. And they just keep getting better and better and better.
And so,
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are there advantages over the mirrorless, over the DSLRs?
Some advantages, and part of it comes with, you know, certain companies just deciding to really start innovating other features alongside of that. But the size and the weight, yes. Some neat things that you don't always think about when you're using them is having an electronic viewfinder is really neat. Gives you exposure and color preview as it's going. Gives you neat focus aids like focus peaking, which will, in manual focus, you know, highlight the areas that are in focus in a bright color. Makes it way easier to manual focus. You can't do that on SLR. And then that EVF2, you know, in darker environments, it boosts your what you can see. It's like artificial. It can be, at least, and it just makes it easier. And they've been packing without that traditional SLR focus system as well. That's kind of changed things. So video autofocus in these types of cameras and continuous autofocus in the mirrorless cameras has gotten better, and especially in the video applications. It just seemed like good fits for someone who wants to do both video and still and have a really powerful camera.
And that's like kind of like the A7 III, the Sony A7 III?
Yeah, literally anything that's new that's out right now
is pretty amazing.
It's hard to go wrong. And I tell people that all the time. If it's impossible to go wrong if you get something that's brand new. But yeah, the hot ones, Sony A7 III with the full frame sensor, Fuji X-T3.
You guys had Panasonic in there showing their giant.
Yeah, so they've got a full frame camera, and they kind of did the opposite thing with their full frame mirrorless, as they said, you know what, we don't care about the size so much on this, we want to pack it full of stuff. And they really did, and it's a pretty impressive.
Did you mess with that very much?
Yeah, I got flown down to Houston.
Oh, you did?
Or not Houston, to Austin.
Oh.
They had like a dealer release event. So for a couple days, they're like, hey, here's a Panasonic S1 or Lumix S1, and you have our tech people at your disposal, and we're going to go shoot some like pre-planned stuff. And the camera is amazing. It feels like a full body, big SLR. But it's got all those cool little bits that we like in the mirrorless systems.
That thing has like some kind of giant megapixel. Like it does something special for really high resolution.
Yeah, there's two. Like Sony did. They did a 24 megapixel right. one and a 45 yeah, megapixel yeah. one. And then since they've got stabilization built into the sensor, they're able to shift that sensor around to shoot these kind of multi-shot high-res photos, where on the little guy it's like 80 megapixels.
Gee, that's crazy.
And then on the big guy, 45 megapixels, takes you to like 180 or something. It's just a silly thing, but neat for product and landscape guys and you know, that really want that detail or be able to push pixels around and edit and have a ton of detail.
What about, okay, so people that have Canon and Nikon, like the legacy stuff, right, the old stuff, DSLRs.
Yep.
What's going to happen in like 10 years? Are they going to still be around? Or are they going to be probably forced into pushing into mirrorless? What do you think?
In 10 years, it's probably gone.
Okay.
We're already seeing these shifts from Canon and Nikon, you know, the big players over the last 100 years. Trying to make compelling mirrorless options because people are moving. And again, like I said, it doesn't really matter. You know, I got guys that come in with original 5Ds and 5D Mark IIs from Canon, and
they're amazing.
You're still going to produce the same level of work you were 10 years ago. It's just what features do you want in there? And the new stuff has some new stuff.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I you know, I teach photography, and a lot of my students ask me, what do I buy? And usually my answer is just like, go to the store, talk to Aaron, number one, but just kind of find one that fits your style.
Yep.
Like hold it in your hand,
yep.
Take some pictures. If it feels good to you, get it. Like that's because everything is amazing.
That's a big deal. Yeah. People call on the phone and they ask all these questions about these cameras. And I always think it's that Amazon customer who's trying to reaffirm before they click the buy
before
button.
They buy online.
And I always, you know, this the same thing. It doesn't really matter. Come play with them. Come in the store, get your hands on something. There might be some weird thing about the camera that you've been looking at that drives you nuts. Or there might be one little thing in a camera that I'm going to grab off the shelf after I hear you talk about what you want to do that's going to totally make sense for what you're doing. You know, there's 100 different cameras out there. There's a reason that all of them exist. Some of them probably shouldn't, but there's a reason they were developed and they have the features they do. But it's figuring out what you want to do with it and finding something to match.
What about Pentax, man? I have a soft spot for Pentax. What's going on with them? Are they going to be around?
Pentax is probably not going to be around.
Old K1000 is my start in photography.
The terrible part is they never made a bad camera the whole way along. There was like a period where they were using AA batteries in their SLRs when everyone else was using rechargeable lithium batteries that lasted way longer. And then there was a period where they just didn't try as hard, so they just kind of faded. But like, they have a full frame,
and it's killer, and it's cheap.
And it's outrageous.
It's outrageous, yeah.
It's as good as a Canon 5D Mark III, IV, and a Nikon D800. And it's super rugged and really cool.
I'm sad for Pentax.
You're just not going to find the accessory support and the excitement and whatever else around it to keep you going with it, I don't think. Don't tell my Pentax rep.
Yeah, no. I actually shot with Pentax for quite a while. I just loved it. And they were more affordable than almost anything else out there, worth like 95% of the features. I just can't. You know.
No, there's, and in this changing world of, like I mentioned, you've always got a camera in your pocket. I no longer need to buy just a camera to be able to take pictures. I've got it.
Right in your pocket.
Right in my pocket. So there's less room for all these brands, I think. And I think Fuji and these other companies have done a great job of figuring out where they can fit and make something to get what people want and make a buck.
What's going on? Do you see anything out in the camera world right now that's going to like maybe change things again? Like anything revolutionary? I know, like for a while they were talking about that. Like, was that Lytro or Lito or what was that?
Yeah, there was a
light field one.
Lytra? No, it's not
Lytra.
Lytro.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. It's just a totally, it's not the standard image sensor and way of gathering imagery. It's just, it was a totally different way.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the releases that were coming for that were really cool at first. You're like, it's man, neat. Dude, you I'm going to change focus. Depth of field.
And yeah, you could shift focus after the fact because it's just taking in a general feel, but the resolution isn't there. We got a couple of those in the store and we played with them, and it was just like, this probably has some really fancy industrial application, but this is not something I want to go take pictures with every day.
Is there anything out there now that's like pushing the envelope besides mirrorless?
No, and I think we're just at a point of there's stuff that works really good right now, and it's just fine-tuning, making it better. And it seems like every 5 years there might be a bigger jump, or every 4 years there might be a bigger jump in the tech that's in these. But there's not like a brand new technology that's ready for consumers. And it's the cell phones. Anything that's going to push like that, I think, is going to be in cell phones.
Yeah. Oh, there's where...
Welcome to Westside High School. It's now lunchtime.
We are recording in my one of my rooms at Westside High School. So we could just the bell just for summer school just went off.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was I going to go with? Gosh, that bell just messed everything up. The idea. Okay. So when we're taking photos, when somebody's first starting off, then they're out there and they're like, I like photography, right?
Yep.
And this is fun. And now I want to go become a professional photographer because it looks really super cool and fun online, right? Do you get a lot of those people coming in?
Tons. Okay. And I'm okay with it in the way that if I get that feel from somebody and they're like, they're ready to dive in, you know, part of my job is to sell stuff. Well, a big part of my job is to sell stuff. So I like seeing people excited about photography, but I also... I want them to know what they're getting into as far as, you know, I want them to be successful. I want them to know how to use their stuff. And that's what I really try to do when I want to match them up with the right gear to make sure they can do what they want. The business side of it, you know, as far as being a photographer, I have no hand in.
No experience.
I have zero experience.
But you've done a lot of shoots and stuff. You shoot some bands and stuff, I think I've seen or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's because I have... To me, I have all of that technical knowledge. Sure. I feel like I could go march out and like do about anything.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of stuff with friends and helping them out. I've got a lot of gear because I'm kind of a gear nerd that I can go and I can do that stuff. But I don't have a desire in me to make an income solely off of me creating a photography or video product for somebody.
Because that changes your excitement level quite a bit, right? Yep. All of a sudden you change from, I love to take photos and this is so cool, to, wow, none of these skills really matter. It's all about the business.
Yep, there's that. You can make the best product in the world, but if you can't organize yourself and make something that somebody else wants you to make for them, then I don't know.
It's one of those things. I was just curious how many people you had asking those questions.
Yeah, a lot. And there's this world of YouTube and people, the popular people in that world make it look great, and they have all this fun stuff, and there is all that fun stuff, and they probably got there a different way than you or I would if we really tried. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, and I will continue to be excited about photography. I just, the whole business part or making a living doing photography isn't interesting to me. Being at the camera store is kind of my out.
That's kind of your thing, right?
Yep.
And I think that I get asked a lot of people come to me with questions because I'm like the photography teacher and around, and they always ask me, should I invest in a camera or lenses? And my answer is usually like, find the camera that you like. Don't spend too much on it.
Yep.
You don't need the giant, flagship. And then get like one prime lens that's like not, $2,000 generally, just to kind of, that's going to start you off with something pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And if you have some gear or you have a camera that can change lenses, if most of the time, most people aren't going to be pushing the limits of what that camera body can do for what they need it to.
For a little while.
You buy a lens. I get people that come in that have some nice lenses, and that because that's what they were always told. You buy lenses, and their camera's 10, 12 years old, and they're wondering why they can't do certain things that they see done. It's like, well, now it's time for a camera.
Now it's time.
And it depends on where you're at and what you're doing. Maybe it's time for a camera now. Maybe you need that 4K 60p to do this project. Well, then you need a camera that does that. It's back to that fit thing, finding the right gear for you. As a general thing, though, I would say you get any entry-level SLR mirrorless camera and the kit lens, you're going to be able to make nice stuff. Then it's just more specific on what you want to do from there. Do you want to shoot landscapes? Do you want to, or interiors of houses? You're going to need a super wide-angle lens. That doesn't come with the camera, obviously. You buy a lens. Camera's not going to make a difference. So it's finding that fit and
really do landscapes, get resolution a little bit more, right?
Yeah. Portrait photography doesn't matter. Yeah. You find a camera that has a big enough sensor, any interchangeable lens camera, and then you buy a portrait lens like a cheap 51.8, or you go find a used 85, and you're going to shoot some great portraits.
Well, earlier you talked about cell phone technology, right? I have had a couple kids come to me with photos. Gosh dang, Bell.
Hey, Bell. So that was just the passing period.
That was the entire passing period. So the first bell was, hey, get out of class.
Get out.
And this was like, you better be in class.
You better be in there.
That was.
I remember those days. Except in yearbook, it was like, oh, that's the bell?
Yeah.
All right.
It's variable in yearbook. I know. No, that's us too. We don't like, I shouldn't say this probably, but like, I don't look at passes. Like people come to class and they're like, all right, just do your thing. Get your job done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Bells are nothing.
Yep.
But anyways, I've had students come to me with a cell phone photos.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, what kind of camera did you take that with? And they're like, that's my phone.
Yep.
Right? Some legitimately amazing portrait photos, like with the background blurred.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm stunned sometimes. I had one kid, after a football game, run out on the field and get with his Google Pixel, right? And this is when all of a sudden I wanted a Google Pixel.
Yep.
Because these photos not only look good on the screen, I had him put them on the computer, and I was like, this looks pretty freaking good.
Yeah,
it was stunning.
It's been amazing to me, and I'll get customers that come in like that too, and it's either they're wanting to make prints. We do a lot of prints at the store as well, and they'll show me a photo. I'm like, oh, what'd you use for that? Just kind of get an idea of maybe how big we can go with it. And lots of phone photos, and lots of them surprise me. They're getting really good. Now, the portrait mode on my Pixel, every now and then will screw up a background edge or whatever.
Some weirdness.
Yeah, because they don't create that shallow depth of field nice or naturally. It's
although with the algorithm and the
algorithms and crazy things that say, okay, this is the subject, here's probably where the background begins, let's start blurring it out. and they do a pretty good job. When it hits it, it's good enough for just about anything someone wants to do with it. And they're high enough resolution, 10, 12 megapixels, where it's good enough for usually anything somebody wants to do with it. I printed the panoramic modes.
In a cell phone.
Yeah. Panoramic, you know, you press the button, sweep it across your scene. I printed for my godfather a 10 by 40.
Which is big.
And I was like, you know, I didn't want to get his hopes up because he had this hope of having this really cool panoramic of this shot he took. I said, I want to get his hopes up. I said, you know, it's from a phone. He said, that's fine. That thing showed up and there's no way you would have believed it.
Really?
Was from a cell phone. 10 by 40, big panoramic print. Looked awesome. So yeah, the world is absolutely changing and the gear is changing. But there will always be a place for an actual camera.
Yeah, but do you think that in like maybe 20 years, there'll be less of a place for most average people wanting any kind of other camera?
Absolutely.
Because right now you still get a lot of people wanting another camera. You're like, I want to step up, but there'll be someday, right?
Yeah, I think so. And that's what I make my livelihood on is selling these things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's absolutely changing. I take probably 50-to-1 photos on my camera to my or my cell phone to my real camera, and I have a nice camera, but it's always there.
Yeah.
And it's usually good enough. And that's the big part in getting gear is finding something that's good enough.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be over the top.
What do you use? What is your gear that you're into right now?
In my bag is a Sony A7 R3, which is their 40.
That's the resolution one. That's the high resolution.
42 megapixel, full frame mirrorless camera. I waited until this newest one, the version 3. Because I watched them, and there's always something finicky that made me want to keep my Canon SLR. You know, whether it's how the menus interacted, or how the buttons felt, or how the focus worked, or how fast it was. This A7 R3 and its little brother A7 III, they're fast. They shoot 10 frames a second. They focus really quick. They have like 400 autofocus points. So they're truly cameras that can just do it all. And for me, yeah, I'm actually a pretty casual photographer, but being a gear nerd, I'm gonna get the big boy. So I got that, and then I just have a general purpose 24-105 zoom, and then I have a cheap 50 that Sony makes, and then I hung on to two of my Canon lenses. I have a 28-1.8. To me, 28 is just such a nice natural wide angle lens. It's what a lot of phones shoot for. There's just a natural wide.
Yeah.
And then I have a 100 f/2 Canon, so which is my portrait guy.
Yeah.
And they're both compact, lightweight, bright, reasonably sharp.
And you're down with are you going to stick with Sony then for a while?
We'll see. Not counting on it as my livelihood or anything. This camera does everything I want it to do. I also have the little Sony A6300. Which is compact and light and super fast. I get to play with all the stuff that comes in, so I'm a little bit spoiled in the way that I can, you know,
mess around with it.
And I did that with my A7 R3 before I bought it. I literally played with the stores for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
While I was at work and took it home on the weekend to just get my brain around it, figured out that it was going to do what I wanted to do, and I bought it.
Have you ever messed around with the old cameras? You guys ever get older stuff coming through there, and you're like, man, the Canon, like...
Ask my wife that question.
You take them home, or...?
Yeah. again, being a gear nerd, there's the mechanical aspect to film cameras that I shoot film more to be able to use the camera than I do to get the pictures.
You were shooting some film in the office the other day, right?
Yeah.
Some of those black and whites?
Yeah. We had a Pentax 6.7, so medium format SLR, enormous, heavy beast, you know, come in that somebody traded in. I said, okay, before we sell this, you know, I'll run a couple rolls of film through it just to see how the thing works and experience it. That's what the old stuff is about. At this point, there's nothing really that they do better than any of the modern stuff, but it's the experience of shooting.
Oh, the film guys are going to get you, dude.
Whatever. That's fine. Medium format, large format, excluded.
Yeah, they're unique. Yeah.
But 35 millimeter film cameras, I don't understand the obsession outside of the experience of shooting the camera. Like sure. It's they're all very different mechanical things. But to just take a picture.
Dude, so I went from my first actual real camera was besides the K1000 digital camera.
Yeah.
Was the Canon 10D.
10D.
You know, and I still, that camera still, I look through some of my old photos and I'm like, that's still legit stuff. Isn't that funny? It's still amazing. But you know what's, it trained me at that time to just go with the center point autofocus.
Yep.
Never change it because you're going to get crazy autofocus. You're going to focus on the trees behind somebody, right?
Yep.
You stay on the center point, and for almost ever, I've just stayed on the center point autofocus and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So recently my wife got the little brother to yours, the A7 III.
Yep.
And to mess around with that camera's autofocus really, number one, it made me old because I was like, man, I should have been messing around more with my other cameras. But it was like absolutely incredible what that thing could do.
Yeah.
I'm retired from weddings, but I shot a little mini wedding. It was like an hour long for a friend in their backyard. I was like, this is a great opportunity to see what this thing could do. And oh my gosh, the face detection.
Face and eye detection.
It was incredible. Like,
has changed how I take, and I'm taking casual photography,
yeah.
casual pictures of my family and my stupid dog and our vacations and whatever. Having it just go to somebody's face without you tinkering with the camera blows my mind.
It blew my mind. I put it in continuous.
Yeah.
And I just had it on the face next to the, on the joystick. I controlled where the joystick went.
Uh-huh.
And the ability to move the camera in almost any speed, it would keep up with everything.
Yep.
Like I was moving in and out of the scenes. I was walking around people, behind people, and it was focusing on the faces faster than I ever thought imaginable.
Yeah, and there's some neat like tweaks inside of these cameras too that you can set a face priority. So if we're at a wedding, I can prioritize the bride's face. What?
That's like stunning.
That blows my mind.
So it might see in a scene three or four, maybe five other people, but it's going to see that bride.
It's going to see the bride, and especially if she's, you know, slightly in front of or behind, that creates the opportunity to get a really creative shot without you having to work terribly hard to get it.
And my old instincts told me that's not reliable, right? My old instincts were like, everybody claims this, right?
Yep.
It always was claimed that this is going to be the best thing ever. It never really truly panned out. Sometimes if you had a great lens, it'd be better than others and stuff, right? Until now, I'm confident that I could go and shoot a whole wedding and do that kind of stuff and just be fine.
And that was me. That's why I, you know, I was holding off on getting this round of mirrorless camera. And then I played with it. And I was like, it just does, you know, is feature A or B or C a gimmick? Because it seems too good to be true. And at this point, the processing power and the things that they've built into these things.
It's true.
It's not a gimmick, and it's features that work and features you're going to use. So it's a good time to be looking at a camera.
It's an amazing time to look at cameras. I can't believe the people online. You ever look at the forums?
I try not to.
Don't do it because it's still like these wars over like pixel peeping, looking at things 100% and like just ripping each other. It's so weird that exists. That's why I love coming down and talking to you.
Yep.
You're totally a different type of tech guy. You're just like, man, I just love the technology. It's fun.
Yeah.
People are spoiled. They have no idea.
Yep. And it's, you know, I did look a little bit at that stuff. But it's more, I'm in the store. I've got them in front of me. Let's see what it can do. And that's a valuable impact. You mentioned like shopping when you want to get started. I always will ask, you know, does anybody in your family or friends have a certain camera system? And I will almost always steer them towards that because they're going to have questions or be able to share lenses and do that stuff. And that's another thing that will impact that.
A lot of my kids have Canon stuff because Canon is still the top.
Yep.
Sony is like number two now, right?
Yeah.
As far as like kind of the sales and all that stuff goes. But that's kind of my advice too. Hey, just get something that you have, your mom has, or you can use your mom's stuff.
Absolutely.
If your mom will let you. Sometimes you never know.
There is that.
Yeah. Mom might want to keep on hold of her stuff.
Yeah.
What's one piece of tech that you think people overlook that they should invest in?
Oof.
So they got a camera. They got a lens. A couple lenses, right? They're good to go. They have a couple memory cards.
I see a lot of crappy memory cards.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it makes me sad a little bit because you get someone who's you know, spends all this money on a on this really nice camera, and they've got this card in there, and you kind of look at it and you say, hey, you know, this card could be really hanging up what this camera can do. It's either a slow speed or older. I see a lot of people run micro SD cards and adapters in a modern camera, yeah. And I've seen more of those fail that way.
Yeah.
So good memory cards, name brand,
fast, a little bit more money,
totally worth it.
But I see that a lot too. Like the cheapest possible $8 memory card on Amazon, right? It's like putting like super cheap tires on a Ferrari.
Yep.
And then saying, go run around the track. And people are like, why can't I shoot in 4K? Why is 4K not video not working? Well, your memory card's not very fast. Like,
yeah. So,
memory card,
and along that line is just external storage.
No, yeah.
Backup gets overlooked.
Do you have people coming in with backup horror stories?
A little bit. Yeah. We see more of the immediate like corrupt cards than I do like backup horror stories. Yeah. But people don't realize, you got all these photos. What are you going to do with them? You got to have something to put them on. So I just got an external SSD for my computer, and everybody should have that. That blows my mind now.
How fast they are.
Yeah. I did a test versus my USB 3 spinning drive, and I moved 40 gigs over just as a test, and it took 12 minutes on my USB 3 drive, and it took like 2 minutes on my SSD.
I did the same thing too when I got an SSD. I was like, holy cow, I cannot believe it. I had all these old, I had triple backups of all my old drives, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was kind of holding off. And then one day I got the SSD and I just converted everything to SSD. I was like, now I have triple SSD drives.
Yeah.
So, which is good. And, backing up online.
They're so much more expensive.
Yeah, but worth
it. But your time is worth something.
Your time is definitely worth something.
And that's been one of the newer pieces of gear that I've gotten. That's just been, I've been, singing the praises of.
What's something that's come through the store or something you've messed with outside, like on your trip to, where was it, Texas or where were you at?
Austin.
Austin, Texas. Like, what's something that's like just blew your mind? Like, this is amazing. Like a giant lens or something where it's really not, you're not going to sell it, but it's really freaking awesome.
Oh.
You ever see anything?
All the big boy lenses from Canon, Nikon, we sell them periodically. There's news agencies and wealthy people that's what they want, and we'll get it for them. And all the big lenses blow my mind.
Those ones where you need like two people or a giant tripod to hold it.
Yeah,
it
well, they come in a suitcase. It's it's not a lens case. It's a like military grade suitcase.
Okay.
That's how you know it's good stuff.
Yeah, when it's protected like that.
But maybe I've just been spoiled, all of this stuff around me all the time. But there's nothing that I can pull off the top of my head like.
I mean, we really, though, the idea, though, is that we're living in the most technologically amazing environment in human history.
Yeah.
Where these things should amaze us. Like 10 years ago or 15, God, I'm old. 15 years ago, messing around with that 10D, most people online said you'll never get much better ISO performance, right? It's not possible.
Yeah.
And now you can shoot in the flipping dark and print that image and it looks pretty good.
Like, yeah.
We're living in a world where we take for granted those amazing, unbelievable things.
Yeah, and we see them in steps of, 18 months at a time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It doesn't hit us as hard. And well, like you said, you look back at that first camera you bought, my Rebel XT,
Rebel XT was a good camera, though. That was a pretty good camera.
It was perfect for me.
Yeah.
8 megapixels, yep. Probably the same guts as your 10D.
Dude, my wife shot probably like 40 weddings with that thing.
Yeah. But yeah, you would not go above 800 ISO.
No, you were in trouble.
Now you just don't even think about it. I'll shoot 12,800 ISO at a concert or something, or sitting around in the living room. 12,800 ISO, picture looks good, throw it on Facebook. No one has any idea that you couldn't do that 10 years ago.
At all. That wasn't possible.
Yeah.
No, it's just for granted. Most of our phones could do a pretty amazing job too now.
Yep.
They have the pixel sense, it's just insanity. It's
silly, yeah.
Dude, what else do you want to talk about? What else do you hear about when people are coming to your store? What's any problems or issues that people have that you think that are, that are easy to overcome or something like that?
learning how your gear works will alleviate so many issues that we see people come in with, and that's what we're there for. You know, obviously we sell stuff, but you know, we're also there to make sure you're happy with what you have, whether you bought it from us or not. It's, you gotta know how to use it, and a lot of the frustrations I see with people could have probably been overcome if, you know, in the weeks prior or the years prior, as they're building this whatever up, they learned X or Y about how to do what they want to do, rather than just assuming that they have a nice piece of gear, it's going to do what they want it to without any input from them. So figuring that stuff out.
So play with the cameras more, learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Play with the cameras. Look stuff up. If you're going to go shoot a product shoot, look up. Like, there's so many, like, people somehow find time in their lives or get sponsored to go produce a video that walks you through their process. And there's so much of that out there that it's easy to find, or ask somebody, you know. We do one-on-ones where we can dedicate time to that kind of stuff, because we have a pretty good wealth of knowledge in that building, and getting people through what they want to do is part of that.
No, and I think as a plug, we're in Omaha, Nebraska, to have Rockbrick Camera, honestly, is a really big resource that I think is pretty amazing, that some people might take for granted, because you could literally walk into that shop and just ask almost anything, and you guys are going to have an answer for people.
Yeah, we try to. And that's, I think, one of the reasons we're still around is, you know, over the years, this small family-owned business has really made a point to keep on top of that stuff. And when we might not have everything in stock all the time, we really do try. And things that we think are important, we have in stock, and things that we believe in, we have in stock, and we have good people. You know, the Rockbrick Camera's been around for 45 years as an independently family-owned shop, and that doesn't happen anymore.
No, and I've made a point over the last 5, 6, 7 years of making sure that I go through Rockbrick as much as I possibly can. There's a couple things that you guys didn't have, like you didn't have Panasonic for a while.
Yep.
Right. And so I had to go and get something online if I needed something like that. But you know, the importance of having a local camera shop is pretty big, you know, to walk in there with I had a stuck, remember the filter I couldn't get off.
Yeah.
You know, I walked in there and you guys just helped me out. It's like, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, got the filter off, and, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It feels good too. You know, it's something we all care about and are just nerdy about, photography and getting people different things every day, different questions and problems.
It's probably fun for you to deal with.
Yeah,
right?
To absolutely.
Talk to people about absolutely. Gear all the time.
I just goof around all day with cameras, which is pretty fun.
All right. Well, cool, man. You got any last things you want to say, or?
No, outside of, you know, thanks for having me on. I always like seeing you in the store, and you know, if you guys don't know Jared, he's always way too happy and friendly, and that makes my life easy when I have those people.
Yeah, and Aaron, one of the things about me doing the podcast is number one, I want to learn from my students, right? I'm asking them to do podcasts,
yeah.
And then they ask me questions. I'm like, I don't know. This way I can help them a little bit more. And another thing is I want to meet people and like talk to them a little bit more and kind of get to know them more. And this is one of the cool ways to do it. So yeah, I've always enjoyed coming in and talking to you too.
Yeah, this has been neat. I'm going to extend this just a hair. He's looking
go
at me like,
it.
I don't want it. I'm going to cut it out.
Go.
You had Nate Jensen on.
Yeah.
And at the Omaha Creatives Collaborative. And I've been in that group for a long time too. And that's been really great to see. So I love this podcast. I love, you know, seeing people gather around and just talk. And that's, I think, going to progress everybody's excitement for photography.
Yeah, and the group is pretty special, I think. When I look at it and I see the people helping out, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and you jump in, I see you jumping in, saying, hey, I got something for you.
I try to be real subtle. I don't want it to be like Aaron's sales.
It's not a sales
group.
Bitch. No.
I want people to know that there's resources.
Yeah, and that's what you've done. And that's that's the cool part about the authenticity of coming into Rockbrick, and you don't get a sales pitch. You get people who are ready to help, and it's pretty cool. This is a love fest here at the end. This is just happy stuff.
That's good when you have those, though.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jared.
All right, man. We'll see you.